This is Kelly Henderson, and you are listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week, my guest is Caroline Bryan, who is wife of country music superstar Luke Bryan, and also just one of my favorite people in Nashville. While most people know and see what Luke accomplishes on the regular, Caroline is the one back home truly running the show. She opens up to me about how she and Luke still make it work after 12 years of marriage and the secret that keeps them alive amongst the travel and busyness of their lives. She also gets really honest about what it's been like to experience the losses their family has faced in losing both Luke's brother and sister, his brother-in-law, and most recently, her niece Brett, for whom she and other family members have now started the Brett Boyer Foundation. She made me both laugh and cry, and I'm incredibly grateful to her for sharing her truth and warm heart with all of us. Here's Caroline. Okay, so obviously I have to talk with you about how you and Luke met.
Okay.
I mean, I love a story about people who have known each other since, was it college?
I was 18.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We met, surprisingly, we met in a bar. I'm sure everyone's shocked.
Yeah.
It was my first night out in college on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
I went to a bar with, you know, typical friends, and a friend of mine who's still a friend of ours today, he's actually our neighbor, he walked up and said, you know, hey, I'm John Davis. He goes, I want you to meet a friend of mine. And he pointed across the bar, and all I saw was this guy with these big teeth smiling and waving. He looked like the biggest goober, but it was Luke. And we met and we talked briefly. And then we just kind of hung out and were friends.
Yeah.
Friends, I say that with air quotations, for about a month. And then we started dating.
So pretty quick.
Very quick.
Mm-hmm. I love that I read some article where you were like, I didn't know what to think about him. Because, you know, he has that larger than life personality.
Oh my God.
So he's always been that way.
I'd never met a person like him.
Like,
truly
tell people like about what that
would
means.
Would just though. Say anything. And he has this big laugh. And which I love goofy guys. I love goofy guys. I just think they're adorable. And he would just say anything. And I was thinking, what is this person? I didn't know if he was drunk, but that's how he acted when he was sober. And I just thought it was just, and he was so sweet. And he's the nicest person. I just thought he was adorable, but I never thought we would date. And then we kissed. And it was like,
rest was over.
You know how you see sparks fly? If you kiss a person, sometimes you just, and I knew after we kissed that we were going to date.
Like the chemistry was there.
It was.
It is hard before. You always wonder if someone you can be friends with, you're like, oh, would it be there? What would happen? So you knew immediately.
Yes.
But you guys, y'all dated for what, a year and then broke up?
A year and a half, okay. On and off. And then he was graduating college. I had another 2.5 years in college.
Yeah.
And Luke was the second guy I had ever kissed.
Like in your life?
In my life.
Okay.
Ever. I had a high school sweetheart from the time I was 13 until I went to college, and we agreed to see other people. And I just didn't know anything else. And Luke was talking about marriage and I just was not ready.
Yeah.
I kind of freaked out. And so we broke up, and we always stayed in touch on the sly, and he and my brother were always great friends. So we always stayed in touch, but we did date other people, and it was the best thing. We were apart for almost 5 years.
Why do you say it was the best thing?
Because I would have never known anything else other than Luke if we'd have stayed together. You know, I went on all kinds of first dates, which I hate dating. If Luke leaves me tomorrow, I don't know if I'll ever date again. I hate dating, is the worst.
Yeah.
Ugh. I had tons of dates, you know, and I had two other boyfriends, but I would have never known that if we hadn't have broken up.
Right. You probably wouldn't have been able to appreciate him the same way.
Not at all.
So when you guys, or how did y'all reconnect? Or you guys, you always stayed in touch, you said, or?
Kind of. We would email back and forth, or I would see him at shows because he would still come to my college town when I was still there, and he would play shows, and we would speak briefly, nothing crazy. But one day I was working out of the blue. I sent him an email once when he got his his deal for with Capitol Records.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working in New Orleans, and I sent him an email just saying, congrats, I'm so happy for you. And that's all I meant for it, because I was in New Orleans. Well, 2 months later, I'm working in Connecticut. Out of the blue, I traveled a lot. And he called me, and it was around Christmas, and he just called me out of the blue, and we talked for about 20 minutes, and then we started texting. This is like right when texting started.
Yeah. So it was like you had to do remember on the numbers? It was like you had to type, hit it three times
and
to get to a C.
12 minutes to do one text. But we started, I would text him during a meeting for work. And then I invited him to my family's Christmas in Atlanta, and he came, and we've been together ever since.
Had he met your family before?
Oh yeah, in college.
Okay.
My family loved him.
Yeah.
So when I said, "Mom, Dad, I'm gonna bring Luke to family Christmas. Is that okay?" Even my dad was like, "Thank God."
Oh, he wanted y'all together.
They always loved Luke.
Yeah.
Loved him. And my brother and my sister, like everybody just loved Luke. So they were like, of course, sure. But they were terrified because of how things, you know, we were together and then we broke up. But they knew when they saw him at family Christmas that it was it. Like my dad just knew.
Yeah. I mean, so was he always doing music? Like what was that? Did you know, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a star? Or do you think this was like a little side gig?
Well, in college, it was a side gig, but I always knew that if he pursued it, he could do it.
Yeah.
I mean he's very talented, but his personality, he's just so good with people. I mean, that's one of his greatest gifts is Luke can just, he's so funny. He can talk to anybody. He can own a room and not even mean to. You know, I'm more of like, I'll stand in the back and, you know.
Yeah.
But I never dreamed it would be on this level, but I knew that if he pursued it, he could do it. But I don't think he ever even thought that it would be on this level at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, somehow it happened.
But that wasn't immediate though. So like, I think when people think about the wives of huge country music superstars, they're like, they have it made.
Oh God.
But
no.
Like you went through it with him, right? Like I read that you were working, did you do pharmaceuticals?
I was a drug rep for a long time.
And he was just trying to pursue music, maybe not making that much or.
He was making, I think his salary was $15,000 a year.
Oh my God. So not enough to live on.
But I had a great job. So yeah. I did that and you know, that's how we made it. And our first house was 843 square feet.
Oh my God.
But those were our best days.
Really?
Like, we had so much fun, but because back then there's no kids, but we had a blast, but it takes a long time. So it does not happen overnight.
No.
Whatsoever.
What do you think the hardest thing now, being married to someone in such a demanding, huge position, what's the hardest thing now about that?
Well, still the hardest thing still is him being gone.
Yeah.
Because he's being pulled in so many directions. And like he got home this morning, he had a show last night somewhere. I forgot. He got home at 6 a.m. but had to fly to New York immediately for a meeting. So he'll be home tonight, probably around 7. And then he has to leave again Wednesday.
Right.
And I'm staying in town because our kids have sports and, you know, practice. So I can't. It's just too hard to, so it's still the hardest thing is him being gone.
The travel schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you balance that? Like, what does your day-to-day look like? I mean, are you just at home running shit, basically?
Yes. It's running shit. Yeah, it's a shit show. But like, okay, so for example, this morning, Luke was gone. My 11-year-old had to be at school by 6:40. Because he went on a class trip.
Right.
So I had to get the two small boys up at like 5:30, get them ready and fed and out the door. And then our oldest, Till, is a senior in high school. So I came home and hugged him by and he went to school. So it's just, you know, and then
so
I'll leave
many
here.
Moving parts.
I have an errand to run and then I'll go pick everybody up at school.
Yeah.
And then go do homework and all that crap, which homework I hate.
Yeah.
Especially math. Math can suck it.
I can't imagine. I see some of my friends trying to help their kids with math homework. And
oh, it's terrible.
I myself am terrible at math. But it seems like everything's gotten so much harder, too.
Well, they teach it differently. Like how we learned in high school in math, that is not how my kids learn. And so I have no idea how to tell them.
Like, what to do?
Like, you can't just, like, carry the one or... No, it's not like that anymore.
Oh, God.
And so I will just start... I have to walk away and I'll just start cussing.
Yeah.
Because I cannot help them because I don't know how they're being taught.
I would, like, I... Yeah. My poor kids, if I ever have any with math, I'm going to have to get a tutor or something. Because yes. I think I would be like, I don't know what to tell you because, first of all, you're probably never going to use this. Like, geometry.
I use my cell phone for everything.
Right. That's why, I mean, no, you don't even, do you really need math? I mean, I don't know.
I hate math. Math is my kryptonite.
Yeah.
Always same. Has been.
Same.
And I absolutely hate it. I want to vomit every time I see it.
Yeah. My brain has never worked that way. Mm-mm. Okay, well, so you guys have been married for what, 12 years now?
Almost 13, yeah.
Almost 13. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need some relationship advice from you. So how, I mean, obviously you said the traveling is a huge thing. How do you make it work?
I honestly think, well, at the end of the day, both people have to want it.
Okay.
Both people, if one person is checked out, you're just...
done.
It's not going to work, but you have to, but we're also really good about talking. Like, you have to talk. If there's a problem, don't keep pushing it down. You better talk it out, try to solve it. And we do. And I'll tell this, we try to once a month go see a counselor.
Oh, you do?
Just to stay on top of it because, you know, some of the best advice I ever got was, do not let small problems become a big problem because they can, it's like a snowball effect. Just go and sit down, talk it out, just stay on top of things. And he and I haven't been to our counselor in a couple months because it's been so busy with summer, but we do try during the year to go at least once a month and just sit down. And if there's anything, like, we're worried for the kids, you know, with our family or with us, we'll just talk it out. So that has helped us. And I believe in that a lot.
Me too. I think everyone should be in therapy. Like I said, even if you're going through something or not, it's just such a good way to either connect with your person, connect with yourself, just to talk things out.
And just to be honest too. And absolutely. Not, I mean, nobody's always 100% of the time a badass.
No.
I don't care who you are.
No.
And just, I mean, you know, I just think it's good for everybody because there are things that Lucas said that I never knew would bother him or things that I would say. And then you just get on top of it and it makes a difference.
It is true too with couples. I know, like, the past experience I've had with couples therapy, having that third party who can hear both sides objectively because everyone just speaks differently, communicates differently. And sometimes you can't, you're translating it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And men truly, I love all the men out there. Men don't know. They don't
tell us more.
Men don't know. I've been told so many times by so many people, you truly do have to tell a man what you want. And girls just want men to
read
just,
their minds.
Yeah, like, you should know this about me. I still think Luke should just know what I want because he's known me for, my God, over 20 years. They don't. But if you just tell them, hey, if you'll just help me with this, it's done. But if you let men try to guess and then girls get mad, it's gonna That's blow up in everybody's face.
Good one.
So I'm getting better at that, at telling Luke how he can help me instead of just hoping that he'll know.
Like, figure it out.
Because they won't figure it out.
What is that mostly? Is it like, I need help around the house, I need help with the kids, or is it just like, I need time? Like, what do you find yourself asking for the most?
I'm still getting better at asking, but Luke has, he knows now that if he wants to make me super happy or if he wants to get lucky, if he'll just straighten up the kitchen or get the kids ready for bed, that just does wonders. 'Cause it's a lot and, you know, and he's figured it out. He's a smart guy. He's like, okay, well, if I put the dishes in the dishwasher,
game on.
Then she's going to be in a really good mood when we get into bed.
Yeah.
So just small things. I mean, I don't need anything big, but just small things like that.
It's like the also just the knowing that they thought about you or the consideration of, let me take this off your plate. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh, dreams come true.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay. That's just a little marriage advice. Yeah. I don't know anything about dating. I don't know anything about what people who are dating want, but that does a lot for people with kids in a household.
Oh, I bet. I think, that's probably a good relationship tip in general. Mm-hmm. What else? What else do you guys do?
We always try to, trying to have a date night's hard because our kids have something every night with sports. But we always do, if he's home, we always have a show that we're into. So we'll try to get everybody in bed.
Yeah.
And we'll try to watch something on TV. And that's just kind of like our time. And
and
it's fun because we're all, and we both agreed to never TV cheat.
Oh.
Well, besides cheating, but right. like we can't, if we're into a show together, the other person cannot TV cheat and watch without the other.
That's a big thing, the TV cheats, especially because he's gone so much. Mm-hmm. Like, what if you guys have, what's the longest you've been apart?
The longest we've been apart years ago when he was doing his radio tour, it was like 2.5 weeks.
That's a long time.
He was on the West Coast and we couldn't afford to fly back and forth. Now the longest, I mean, it's been a week, but that's as long as we'll go.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. But that's also smart for TV cheating because...
No, he TV cheated once.
Oh, wow. What happened?
I threw the remote at him.
As you should. I was fully support that.
Because he said something. I said, you watched this without me, didn't you? He said it was just one episode. And so I
got just
mad.
One time.
He had to rewatch it with me.
Well, there you go. So I've read somewhere that Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman, their max is 3 days. Like they will not go further. So you said a week is the longest you guys have gone. Mm-hmm. Do you find that if you spend more time apart than that, like the miscommunications start happening, or what happens if the time goes by?
I mean, you know what? It can do two things. You can either kind of get mad, or you can kind of feel like, okay, well, I feel like we haven't talked in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Or you can really, like, really just miss each other.
That's
and,
true.
And just crave the other person. And the only time that he and I have gone a week is if he's had something and then I have to leave for something. Like he and I went a week 2 weeks ago because he was gone for 4 days for a show. In the morning, he was flying home. I had to fly to LA to do something with my sister-in-law for our charity.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so I was gone for 2 days. So when I got back, it was pretty much a week, but that was something that's not typical.
Yeah.
But we just really, at the end of that, just really missed each other. But
so then once you're back together, it was actually better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a day passes and he has to leave again. So
yeah, you're like, bye. I love on your Instagram, which is Lena Bryan 3, right? How many Lena Bryans are there?
Okay. All right. It's everybody says Lena. It's Lina.
Oh, like that Caroline.
That was a friend of mine in college started calling me Lina.
Okay. That makes
just
sense.
Just long story. And my nephew and a few of my friends here in town call me Lina.
Yeah.
And when I opened Instagram, I don't know why I did it because I didn't know how to work it. I just typed in that because Caroline Bryan was already taken.
Yeah.
But I just typed in Lina because that was my nickname.
So now it's Lina Bryan, but it's 3. And I was like, wait, there's more than one? Or was like one and two taken?
I did 3. No, I don't think anything was taken.
Oh.
I did 3 because of the 3 boys. In the house for both Tate and Till.
Oh, okay. I just picked something.
Like, yeah. It wasn't thought through. I was like, okay, Caroline Bryan's taken. I was like, I'll just do Lina Bryan 3 for both Tate and Till.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay. Well, on your Instagram, you do a lot of pranks.
Yes.
Which we were talking about before, mm-hmm. but that's kind of what you've become known for, right?
I guess. it was accidental, but that's what our home life is actually like. And so I was just on the phone on the way over here talking about a few ideas I have for this coming up, I guess I call it Pranksmas, the 12 days of Pranksmas.
Uh-huh.
So I have a few things coming up that we're going to start working on pretty soon.
Well, let's talk about some of the old things, because when I say pranks, I think people would be like, oh, would she like jump out of a closet? But like, these are very thought out, meticulous pranks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times Luke is obviously the object of your prank.
And he hates it.
It's pretty funny though. But his reactions are my favorite.
Well, he does a lot of stuff to me that people don't see.
Okay.
And so this is just my, this is like, he'll bring a live snake in the house.
That's not right.
And if all snakes are demons, I am petrified of a snake. Oh, I don't care if it's rubber, if it's real, if it's dead, I'm terrified. So I just decided, I don't know even know why I did it. I had an air horn and he was on the phone and I just got him, and then it just turned into something. But this year is going to be better. It's going to be more thought out, because it wasn't, nothing was thought out last
year.
Really? It was thought out a little bit, but it was, I mean, I just did them pretty quickly. But the air horn's coming back, because that's my all time favorite.
Oh my gosh, he jumped so high.
I almost bought one here, but
oh god, that would have been a rude awakening. What's your favorite prank you've done? What'd you say?
Besides maybe the air horn, I truly loved when we scared the hell out of Luke's mom with the fireworks.
Wait, what? Where were they?
So I called my nieces in Georgia.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I have an idea. And they got the wrong fireworks, but it still turned out funny. I said, go to the store and buy some bottle rockets. They go,
oh, yeah,
the pow, pow, pow,
yeah,
pow.
Yeah, yeah.
And just set them off behind Maw-Maw. That's what everybody calls her. And they're like, oh, okay, okay. So they had her sitting out at a store, and they went and bought like legit fireworks.
Oh my God.
And so they had a friend set them off, and it's just scared the hell out of her. And she jumped up and started cussing. And so that was probably my other favorite. Oh, that and the hair dryer.
Which one was it with the powder?
With baby powder.
That one to me. Okay, describe that one, because that was so funny.
So I'm kind of evil. I just love to torture people, not in a horrible way, but you put baby powder in the top of a hair dryer.
Yeah.
And tell a friend it's not working. It's not working. And when they turn it on, it just goes straight in their face.
So they start looking at the
yes.
tip. That was what happened to your
so
friend,
they start,
right?
Like, looking in the tip, and then they turn it on. And it just shoots all in their face.
Oh my God.
Which is terrible, but it's really
it's
funny
also
to
hilarious.
Watch.
So if you guys want to check out all of Caroline's pranks, go to, why is that hard for me to say? I want to say Lena.
Everybody says it. It's
Lena Bryan 3 on Instagram. There's a lot of videos up that are actually very, very funny. Do you think that stuff like that, like the fun, goofy side of you and Luke, is kind of another thing that helps make it work? I feel like you guys are always laughing.
We do. Now, we can also fight, because that's just normal, but
yeah,
we do. I think that's why people, most of other people who follow my Instagram, they're all moms.
Yeah.
And I rarely ever look good in Instagram post, because I'm dealing with
it's
kids.
Just like real life day to day.
It's just, you know, sometimes it's hard to see a post of a mom is like, I've had the worst day. And I'm like, oh, honey, but you've spent an hour and a half on your hair and makeup. But so, yeah, we laugh a lot. We don't take things too seriously.
Keep it real.
And we're as normal as it gets. Sometimes we're so normal, we're boring, that we kind of have to just go try to have a little bit of fun and just prank each other.
Yeah.
And my kids prank me now.
Well, it's kind of payback.
I've started something horrible. Mm. So, yeah, they put fake bugs in my bed. And
well, snakes, I assume.
No, they don't do that.
Oh, they know better?
That's a... Mm-mm.
Oh, wow, it's that bad.
I can deal with bugs, but if don't, just no. Don't throw a snake on me. Ever. Ever.
Okay, noted. So if you ever bring an air horn near me, I know how to get you.
a snake is where of you. I'll have a slight heart attack.
Well, I did say you and Luke are both, to me as a couple, every time I've ever been around you, y'all are laughing, just so kind, so just generous with everyone around you. Do you think that that has come a lot from the stuff that you guys have been through with just the loss in your family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've always said, everybody better stay humble because life will humble you. Life Amen. Humbles me every day.
Yeah.
And we will never be pretentious or snotty or because we've been through, I mean, we've been through hell. Luke has lost his brother, his sister, our brother-in-law, and our niece. Mm-hmm. And just when you think it can't get any worse, we're like, okay. And we both have anxiety now yeah. about who's next, like what's yeah. going to happen. So I do. And this is something a lot of people don't have a clue about. I deal with horrible anxiety. And I never had anxiety until we had losses in our family. And so I've had a couple of horrible panic attacks. And that's just being totally honest because I'm always scared of what's going to happen next. Like,
It's like PTSD, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. 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 And I do have that from the loss of our brother-in-law who passed away of a heart attack because I was there when it happened. But I've always said that, you know, it's not our job to understand why God does what he does, but it is our job to accept it and just try to make something good out of something horrible. And it's really hard. I mean, there are days, trust me, where I just don't want to deal with anything. I just want to curl up in a ball, but I have to keep going, obviously, for the kids.
Right.
But it's also okay to have a shitty day and not want to and just be sad. That's fine. But people who go through a lot, and I always say, you know what? I've been through a lot, but people have been through worse. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine losing a child or watching my child be sick in the hospital. And I've seen those parents. And it's so, you try to always stay on the bright side and just try to help a person who's going through hell. And so that's my whole mission.
I mean, I feel like that is always, it's always the families that I look at that I just have so much respect for and who are so kind to other people. And I'm like, how do they do it? Because I remember when Luke's brother-in-law died, thinking to myself, why this family? Why again? You know, because like you said, his brother had passed away. That's Drink a Beer is about his brother, right?
It's kind of about his brother and his sister.
And his sister.
Because they had both passed when they wrote that song. Yeah.
And then to have, so the sister who the brother-in-law were talking about, they had three kids,
mm-hmm. two and boys just, and a girl.
And both so young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just unexpected, out of the blue, no clue, just taken just so quickly. Mm-hmm. And we still don't understand any of it, but we're also very thankful that we're able to take care of them.
Right. Because we
want to, so.
Right. I mean, because I've read too, you guys, so the three kids are now, did y'all adopt them?
We did not adopt. So we're their guardians. So
guardians.
So the oldest now, the girls are at the age where they're adults, so they don't have a legal guardian.
Okay.
We've been Till's guardian since he was 12.
Yeah.
But we never questioned it. I mean, it was an honor that they, you know, wanted us and our help. And the girls stayed in Georgia because the oldest was in college. Mm. And the middle, Chris, she was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And she wanted to stay with her friends.
Of course.
So she stayed with our family, but we were always...
Yeah.
And Till moved in with us immediately, but we've always been in contact. Like, they were just here. They flew home yesterday around lunch. So we see each other a lot.
And you said y'all never even talked really about that. It was just kind of like, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was no talking about it. It was just they, you know, they talked to us and we were like, of course. And so that was it.
So when you say you have anxiety or what do those days look like? The panic attacks and all of that.
Well, I think anybody who has panic attacks, I don't know. I'm just speaking for myself. I know. A full-blown panic attack. I've only had four major full-blown attacks in my life. And I know what my triggers are.
Yeah.
And so my last one was just, it was awful. So, and it was from, I was alone in the house. It's something about being alone.
Okay.
And I was alone in the house. I was exhausted because I hadn't been sleeping because we had just lost a child at the hospital who we all loved. So I hadn't been sleeping. It came out of nowhere and I had to go to the ER, which it's not fun, but that's a panic attack, like a real one. So now, and I'll admit it to anybody, I have emergency meds in case I feel one coming on, I can stop it. Because anybody who's had a real panic attack, I told Luke and he was like, oh my God. Cause I don't think Luke's ever had like a real one. I mean, he has some anxiety about, you know, death and everything, mm-hmm. but I would rather give birth with no meds ever than to ever have another mm-hmm. full blown panic attack.
It's crippling.
It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Cause you can't reason with anybody. And it's just, it's the most helpless. It's the most awful feeling in the world.
Yeah.
So and I do battle just keeping my anxiety under wraps because I'm always scared of, is somebody I love about to die, or am I about to die and leave these kids with nothing? And mm-hmm. but I keep it under control most of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Is there anything you do on a day to day to just keep the positive outlook?
Well, honestly, I mean. Exercise is a big, that's a big thing. It keeps me busy. It keeps me feeling good and trying to eat somewhat right. I'm still a glutton for ice cream and French fries, I have the best friends in the world and they know everything about me. And if I have a bad day, they're there in an instant.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
I can't imagine what that would be like. I think it's like always waiting for that next shoe to drop kind of thing when you've been through back to back to back.
But you can't live like that.
You can't.
So I try to, and I have great days where I'm like, okay, everything's fine. Quit worrying about something that's probably going to never happen.
Right.
But then there are those days where you're like, but what? And it's the fear of feeling that pain.
Yeah.
That's what my anxiety is the fear of feeling the pain of another death.
Mm-hmm.
And because that pain is something nobody should ever feel, but that's where mine comes from, is the fear of feeling that pain again.
So we talked about the loss on Luke's side, but then there's also on your family side, your brother and sister-in-law mm-hmm. lost a child.
Yes.
Was that 2 years ago now?
Well, she would be three. So it's she passed away when she was 7 months.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Brett. Tell me about Brett.
Sadie Brett Boyer, she was probably the greatest thing to happen to our family. My brother and sister-in-law, who were the best people in the world, truly, like the smartest, the sweetest, the funniest, they tried for years to have a baby. Mm-hmm. It just did not happen. And we don't know why. They went through all these tests. Everything was normal. It just didn't happen. So Ellen and Beau went through IVF and they got a little girl. And when Ellen was probably, I guess, about 12 weeks pregnant, she called me just crying. I remember I was driving. Honestly, I'll be honest. I was parking at a liquor store to go buy wine. I truly was. I was pulling into a store to go buy wine and Ellen called and she was just hysterically crying. And I knew something was wrong because I knew that they're going to have tests done. And she said that Brett had come back positive that she was going to have Down syndrome. And Ellen, this is what I love so much about her. She never said, why us? Why this? Mm. I don't want this baby. Her first words were, I can't even, she goes, my heart is breaking over the thought of somebody making fun of her. Mm. And that's what's so good about Ellen. And I was like, Ellen, you know what? And then my brother was so sweet. He goes, we're gonna do this. She's gonna be a badass. And Brett is still a badass. And then once our family wrapped our head around it, we didn't care. We just wanted Brett here. Then we found out Brett had a heart condition, which is very common in Down syndrome kids. It was supposed to be an easy fix. Her surgery was supposed to be an easy fix. Something just, with her little body, it just did not, the surgery just didn't take. And Brett fought. She truly did. And at around 7 months, her little body just couldn't take it anymore. And they called us and told us to come in, that, you know, it would be soon. And so our whole family was there. And Ellen and Bo got to hold her. And watching them hold Brett after she had passed was the single hardest thing I've ever seen. So, and then we decided to, you know, take what she taught us and what we had learned in the hospital about CHD and about kids who have Down syndrome, and just to kind of hopefully change the world. And that's what we're trying to do.
So she had congenital heart disease, yes. Which is 1 in 100 kids have, yes, that in the U.S. So it's common.
Yes, it's way more common than anybody knows, but it's under research. Like,
yeah,
it's so common, but people don't talk about it.
Right.
And there's just, and so we're trying to just put it out there. So our tagline is support and celebrate. So we want to support the families and research, and then celebrate kids who have Down syndrome, mm-hmm, because they are the sweetest, just the best light. They're so much fun, and they're really intelligent. They're very sassy.
Really?
Like, I love everything about these kids because they're so great. So that's kind of like our thing, because not every kid that goes through what Brett has gone through, a lot of kids make it.
Like, right.
They have the surgery and they're home in 5 days.
Right.
And that happens every day. And Brett was just the exception. Like, our family's been the exception to so many things.
Right. When you say we, you're talking about the Brett Boyer Foundation, yes, which is a, mm-hmm, charity, mm-hmm, that you and your sister-in-law, Ellen, mm-hmm, started after Brett passed, right?
We did.
So the other question I would say is, does it come hand in hand a lot of times with Down syndrome, or is that completely separate?
It's about half of the kids, yes.
It is.
It is. So it's very common, but it's, okay, very fixable. I mean,
yeah,
every child is different, but the surgery that Brett had, so many kids are home in 5 days and they're thriving and they're fine.
And they're fine.
And they're fine. We just, you know, God gave us this for a reason, mm-hmm, and, you know, and Brett still is, we always knew that she would do something amazing to change the world, and she's doing it.
Yeah.
She's still doing it.
Do you find that the work you guys are doing with the foundation is healing you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's helping us. It's helping Ellen and Bo, because they still grieve. They lost a child. Every day's different. So it's helping us to just watch what we're doing to help kids, because, mm-hmm, we've seen kids that have been saved from a few things that we've done to give money, and so that's all worth it.
So you guys do a bunch of different activities, which we'll talk about in a second, but what is the main thing that you've seen as a result of the money you've been able to raise? Like, what are they doing? Are they researching? Or
so they do research, but also immediate things, like whether it's buying an artificial heart to help a child before the child has a heart transplant,
because
they need more of those.
Okay.
So if a child is on a list, I mean, it could take up to a year. I mean, you just don't know, which is a horrible thing, because in order for a child to have a heart, another child has to die, which,
right,
is
terrible.
It's
yeah,
still something I have a hard time talking, mm-hmm, about. But so if you buy an artificial heart, that can help a child stay alive until they get a heart.
Right.
So it's just stuff like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the activities? Because I knew about the Red Bird Games, mm-hmm, which I want to talk about too. But y'all do a lot. There's a lot of different, like I was reading, mm-hmm, about, there's something you do with the Preds, or you're doing, mm-hmm, a hockey game.
Yeah. It's the, I forgot what it's called, but it's like, Preds love, it's.
Preds Have a Heart,
yeah,
hockey.
Preds Have a Heart
hockey,
yeah,
night.
So the,
yeah,
Preds are going to help us with that, which they do so many awesome things. Like,
really?
Those guys, like, I don't even know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've met Mike, you know, a few times, but I don't really know any of these guys. But what they do, like, I have so much respect for all those guys. Like, a lot of respect.
Cause really?
They truly do good, and they aren't even forced to. They just do
it. Oh, really?
They just do it, and they'll go to the hospital and see all the kids, and That's, you know, so cool. I have a llama named after Pekka.
Pekka.
Because a kid at the hospital wanted to name him Pekka because he's his favorite player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. So there's that. There was I read about a meat lover's dinner at 404 Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Best buddies friendship walk. So is there a way that people can get involved if they...
There's tons of ways. You know, if you go to the site, which is www.thebrettboyerfoundation.org, you can read... I keep dropping your pillow. Sorry.
That's okay.
There's
the chairs in my office are not that comfortable. They're just really cute.
They're really cute. Now I like them. I mean, there are tons of ways to get involved. There's Bike for Brett, and there's just a ways to donate. Then, you know, there's places to buy, you know, a t-shirt or all kinds of stuff. And then Luke's Bar in Town, I've got merch there that we just started. And
oh, cool. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm.
And it's doing great. So there's
downtown Nashville. Mm-hmm. You can go to Luke's Bar and get some Brett Boyer's Foundation merch.
That's
I love the, so last year we did the Redbird Games, which tell people what that is.
That is a full day. It's a different type of, you know, most of these charity things, a girl has to get dressed up all day.
Like fancy.
And go to a dinner where the food is, you know.
Yeah.
Subpar. And then, so ours is an all day event. There's fishing, there's skeet shooting, there's putting for purses, there's archery, there's all kinds of stuff. There's golfing, like on a golf simulator. And we raise money for the hospital.
Wait, you say raise money. Tell people how much money y'all raised last year.
Last year, we raised over $2 million.
I mean,
and that was our first year.
Yes, yeah. It was an insane event. It was awesome. And that was like, at the end of the day, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, we didn't expect that either. Like I told them, I said, my goal is to raise $1 million. They were like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And we raised over $2 million our first year. This year's going to be better. And then at the end of the night, Luke hops on stage with some of his other friends, like, and does a little show, which
like some of his other friends, deal. It's like little big town. Yeah. It was so fun.
It was like something that nobody can ever experience. Cause Luke did it. Jason Aldean hopped on stage, little big town, John Party,
all the peach pickers.
Yes. And so we had, it was really something. And we have a few more people showing up this year. Ooh. That you'll have to wait and see. It's going to be really
surprise
cool.
Guest.
It's going to be really cool. There's a bunch of singers and non-singers who are coming. I have a few comedian friends who who are coming. And they are the funniest people on this planet. And they're just coming to hang out and have a good time. And they'll probably grab the microphone a few times just to do something funny.
Comedy shows are my favorite of
mine
all.
Too. Yeah. Mine too. It's like the best. I wish I was, but I'm not talented enough to do what they do at all.
Yeah. It was honestly, for me, one of the most fun days of my year.
Me too.
It was so fun.
Because, well, we planned this for almost a year. So everything is very well planned out. Mm-hmm. And my baby is the putting for purses.
Which dominated.
And that's why I had a shot stand set up right behind it.
I was at that shot stand a lot.
Yes, it was fun. And we have a glam tent this year.
You can go get hair and makeup done.
We can do that. And it's being sponsored by Net-a-Porter. So there's going to be tons of stuff there.
The putting for purses is like a little area set up with the designer bags and you just have to make a putt. But people don't realize how hard it is to putt after a tequila shot. Like you were pretty smart to set it up that way.
Oh yeah. But you can win Gucci. So we've got all kinds of purses
like
coming.
Real deal stuff. Uh-huh. So that's happening
October 19th.
October 19th. Also information for that would be on the website as well, right?
Yes. And then we're also doing, because our teams have sold out, which it's unbelievable that our teams have already sold out. But me and Luke and some other people are going to be live streaming that day. And so there is a raffle that I've got on my Instagram. So there's a raffle where anybody can get involved and win like free tickets and all kinds of stuff.
So how would people find the raffle beforehand?
I've been putting it on my Instagram story every day so that they can just, I think it's $20.
Okay.
I needed to double. And so you're, and we pull, I think, five or six names all day and they win tickets and to Luke's show, and or maybe something else. We're still talking about some pretty big prizes for 20
bucks.
Yeah.
I'll actually post the link or whatever it is, the flyer about that on my Instagram page, maybe in a story too. So you, and like a highlight, so people can see and find where to find that. Cause that sounds like a pretty good deal.
It is. And it's just fun. And it's, I mean, we'll just be on, we'll go live throughout the day just to show you what in the world's happening. Cause it's a pretty crazy event.
There was a lot going on last year. So if you guys want to find out more about CHD too, I know on your website, you guys have a lot of different descriptions of kind of what, I can't believe how common it is. Mm-hmm. And it's, I've never heard of it before hearing about Brett.
Oh yeah, it is. There's all kinds and all kinds. 1 in 100 kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeez. But let's talk about positive too, that your brother and sister-in-law did just have another baby.
They did. Wells, a little boy, he just turned one.
Oh.
And he's the cutest, the happiest. And he favors Brett a lot, which is so funny. He favors Brett a lot, but he's just the happiest, cutest. He's starting to walk. He's the best.
And that makes me so happy for them.
He's the little brother, and that's what everybody calls him.
Little brother.
Mm-hmm. Little brother. So he's just the cutest, and I'm so in love with him.
I love that you guys have turned your pain now into something that's helping other people. I love hearing stories like that. Just because like you said, it helps you heal, but it's also, there's so many families out there who probably are less fortunate than some of the people we know. And
yeah, I mean, and you know what? I've found the first person to pick you up is a person who's been down.
Yep.
So, you know, and a lot of people haven't been through horrible things and, you know, good. I don't wish any,
right.
I don't wish that on anybody, but I've always found the first person to show up is a person who's been there.
Because I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I'm here to pick anybody up.
Well, I love your spirit. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you for
here
having
to do
me.
This with me. You guys go check out the BrettBoyerFoundation.org for all information of just this organization, the things that they do, where you can help out, if you want to buy these raffle tickets, all of that. Check out both Caroline and mine and my Instagram. It is Lina Bryan.
it's very country sounding.
Lina Bryan 3 on Instagram. And if for nothing else, follow for the pranks. Seriously. Well worth it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Bye.
This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening.